All right, folks, how are you today? I guess, I don't really, my name is Mike Mitchikowski, I'm Polish. What? There's an H here that isn't written. Mitchikowski. Give Mitch a call. I'm a dentist. Mitch. Yeah, give Mitch a call. I'm a dentist, so everybody loves me. Right? And we're going to open, we're going to kind of open up Bob's conference here with a Greek class. And actually, I believe that, I believe the first actual speaker is what, tonight, Bob?
Yeah, Dave Bickle, 7:30.
Dave Bickle, 7:30. But in fact, what I'm going to go over today, I believe to be, I'm going to have seven Greek forms or words. Greek has forms, not words. It has roots and forms. And so when you say a Greek word, it's kind of a misnomer. It has it has forms. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over seven Greek forms that are very important to your calling. All right, in some senses. This one, this first one might not be attached to it, but in a sense, it's a word that, it's a form that the Apostle Paul used 27 times. And it's found in Romans 8. So you can turn to Romans 8, 18 through 21. And the reason that we're studying Greek is because original New Testament, New Testament scriptures were written in Koine Greek. Koine Greek is Greek of the populace. It is common Greek. And I believe, I'll just say this real quickly, that I believe that the Lord, as he did with somebody like Nebuchadnezzar, is I believe that the Lord used Alexander the Great. Even though it's a possibility that Alexander the Great could have been satanic. If you study into his life and what he did, what he conquered, he could have been a spiritist, actually, and more. But I believe that in order to spread Greek throughout the known world, the Lord used him. And therefore, the New Testament is written in Greek. If you want to if you want to get more knowledge out of the Word of God, you would study the Koine Greek. Okay, so here's an important form. It's pronounced lagidzamai. Lagidzamai. And this is the Koine form that means to reckon. Okay, as you find in Romans 8. Romans 8, 18 through 21. Why is this important? Well, let's read Romans 8. 18 through 21, and it says, "For I reckon, for I logizamai, for I reckon," and even though Romans 8 is of a different calling than ours, I wanna mention this for impact as to what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, this is an Acts period book. It's the book of Romans, probably the last book written in the book of Acts. But the statement that he makes here is this, and this is something that we can take great comfort in. "For the sufferings of that present time were not worthy to be compared with the glory that their calling permitted them to be revealed," how they were revealed. I believe that the new Jerusalem was being offered through faith during the Acts period. It's a possible, that goes into something else, but overcomers or faithful people are going to reign in the millennial kingdom. And then I think a special group of people by faith are going to inherit the New Jerusalem. And it's a possibility that the same people will be in both places. That is to say, if you're going to reign with Christ during the millennium, you're an overcomer. If you're a person of faith, during the Acts period, you're an overcomer. Because most of Israel and most people rejected the Son of God. And so that's why I believe Hebrews 11 was written. It's a city of faith, okay? But what Paul was saying here is very important in this fact, because, and I translate this over to our suffering, because at this point, and I could go on to read it, the rest of the two verses, but I won't, because the point of it is, and you can, Nick, go on to the next, the point of it is that whatever you're suffering, and whatever you will suffer in your life from now until you're in the grave, is that whatever that is, and whatever he allows, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed in us and through us, and much more, in the Son of God at the right hand of God. And so when he says, Lagidzamai, he's saying this. And what was he through? What was Paul through? What did he go through when he got to this point? What had he been through when he got to writing the book of Romans? Well, he wrote the book of Corinthians. He wrote the book of Thessalonians. He wrote the book of Galatians. He wrote the book of Hebrews. So all of those things that he suffered in those books, and all the experiences he had, and all of the teaching that was taught to him directly by God himself, he said, I take all of that into account. I take into account everything I know, everything I've been taught, and when I calculate that all up, see, you got to get this. You got to get this in your hearts and minds. Because then you'll understand when he says that these sufferings, and he's saying my sufferings, they're not even worth being put up against on side of the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
It makes sense because a lot of our blessing certainly is to come, right? And we're going to get into this more with resurrection and such. And a lot of our blessings are coming. And what we are going through now, whatever your experience is, I don't know. But you could be brought to the limit, whatever limit that is for you, mentally, physically, both. You could be brought to the mountaintops. You could be brought to the valley, and you could question what's going on. What's going on here? You know. But what Paul is saying here. And this is very serious. It's very serious. It's not wishy-washy. It's not something that shouldn't be taken seriously, is that all of these sufferings are not even to be put next to any of the glory that's going to be revealed in and through you, through the Son of God. And so this is a very important, this reckoning, because he calculates through his experience. And then he makes this statement. And that's extremely important, I thought, to bring out. Lagidzomai. And Omicron... Oh, where is she? Are you that girl? Omicrons are not omegas. Which means that is a low guy zomai. It's la. Omicron, Lagidzamai. And an omega or an omega is a long or O. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I think to myself when I come here, well, heck, I hardly see you guys like once a year. What am I gonna teach you, or what am I gonna say? I'm just a studier like you. What am I gonna say for 45, 50 minutes to believers? And so what I came up with is these forms that you can go and study on your own, and you can glean the blessing out of them, okay? Here's another one. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay. Pardon me, I messed up already. Okay? To take an account of, to calculate Paul's reckoning from his own experience and from his own life. And you should really get the impact of that. Because you could sit down and you could study what this man has been through from putting people to death that believed in the Lord to being a spokesman powerfully for the Lord. And this is what Winchester and Nick help us to do, all this really cool stuff with the show. I guess I can say that, okay? So now I hit buttons and look at this. Well, okay, here's... No, to me it's exciting. I did everything by writing on paper, okay? And here's a really important one. It's the Greek form, and it's Sophias. Sophias, and of course, this is wisdom. Nope. Bingo. Wisdom, broad and full intelligence. It can be the wisdom of man or the wisdom of God. And we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 2:1-14. Thank you very much, Nick. Okay. And it's used in the sense of wisdom of very diverse matters, so that the shade of meaning in which the word is taken must be discovered from the context, in every particular case. There is the wisdom that belongs to mankind, and there is the wisdom of God. And let us all not be mistaken that this statement, or the statement that I made, there is the wisdom of man, and there is the wisdom of God. You're faced with that every waking minute of your life. The wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. Because how does the Lord reveal himself anymore? He reveals himself through his word. And you can study, two different people can study the same scriptures. And it's through the wisdom of God, through God the Holy Spirit. One person can see riches, and one person might not see a thing. And see, this has to do with your calling. This has to do with the mystery. Because the Lord brought you along in your own particular manners, and then whammo, he showed you the mystery via God the Holy Spirit through his word. A real, very real thing. And so you were under the experience of the wisdom of God. And that certainly, and through my experience, I can say that is totally apart from the wisdom of man. If you ever thought about when you read the scriptures, let's say you take the book of Ephesians and you read the first chapter or two, think about a human being writing that out of his brain or out of her brain. I mean, it would be impossible. It would be impossible for them to come up with such knowledge, such truth, such language of things. And so to understand such things as the wisdom of God, and I just wanted to read these verses. How long do I have to? I don't know how far I'm going to get, but we're going to keep on going. The point of it is that these forms are very important to you, even of the mystery. Okay, even though I'm reading out of 1 Corinthians, it's tremendous. 1 Corinthians 2, and it states, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom of man," I'll put in, "declaring unto you the testimony of God." Okay, so here is Paul explaining the difference between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God, because he went up amongst a lot of learned men, a lot of philosophers, a lot of university types, a lot of egghead types that thought they were something else. And he said, "I'm coming unto you," sometimes in fear and trembling. That's something that really takes me back. He approached these people in fear. What would he have to fear? That's interesting. But that has to do possibly with weakness. And scriptures teach it that God works perfectly through weakness. And that's opposed to what men think, what women think. What men and women think is that you have to be strong in yourself. You have to build up the flesh. You have to, be the Hercules in the flesh. That's what everybody thinks is great. But God works just the opposite. He works just the opposite. And he wants to bring all flesh to nothing. Right? Very important to understand that about the Lord. is that he wants to bring all flesh to a nothingness. He wants to bring all pride to nothing. And that's why he sends his son in humility. Very important to understand. You know why that is? It's because you're walking in a world that rejects that every day. Alright? And so you're gonna experience these things and they might take you back. And so you have to have knowledge to understand what's happening to you. Because you're gonna walk in the same steps that Paul did, and you're gonna experience the same things that the Lord did. Okay, and that's what this wisdom is about. And he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So Paul wasn't looking unto people for what they had, what they were, who they were. It was Christ in them. That's what his bond was. And that's what our bond is. That's what our bond is. Our bond is the love of God through Christ. And so that's the only true bond we have, all of us, is the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's how Paul approached them, and with this wisdom of God. "And I was with you in weakness," interesting, "and in fear and in much trembling." Ask yourself the question, why a man like the Apostle Paul would be among these people? Why is it that he's among them in fear and trembling? Why would that be? I mean, seriously, do you have the answer? Okay, well, think about it. Because, you know, at this time, he was healing the sick, you know, possibly raising the dead. The power that worked through him was immense through the Holy Spirit. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom," all right, "but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." The wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. They know nothing of each other. And I told you why it is. The wisdom of man is haughty and prideful and self-gratifying. The wisdom of God is humble and it has nothing to do with the flesh. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory." Listen to this. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." All right? That's something else that you can live off of. All right? Because you're going to go through a lot of things here. You're going to go through a lot of trial here if you're a son of God. That's a man or a woman chose to this calling. You're going to go through things that you might not understand. And so these things are very important. Sorry. "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." And I'll just stop there. And so I think that I've made my point with this form, Sophias, because it deals with not only the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God and the understanding of both. And the one is just remarkably beautiful. All right, so this is another form that deals with our calling. And it's pronounced exalexata. Exalexata. And the reason I chose this is because this is out of Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. All right. And what I want to tell you is this, is that in your calling, and this is a matter of fact, the Father is cemented to you like no other calling in the history of creation. The Father and you are cemented together like no other calling ever given. Because it's the Father's choosing. I want you to listen to them. I want you to listen to this. And because this is very important. If you claim to know the mystery, you'll know that your dear Heavenly Father, through His Son, has extreme joy in you. Because you'll find, especially in the first chapter of Ephesians, that it's His choosing, personally. It's His pleasure. It's His justice. It's His foreordination. It's all of His, through His Son, that's taking pleasure in you. It's the Father. And the only way you're going to know that is through the wisdom of God and the Holy Spirit enlightening you to this fact. And that's very important to your calling, because you are chosen personally by Him, by the Father. Okay, and we're going to go on from here. This is to choose out for oneself. Who is God the Father? Who is He? Oh, He's part of the Godhead. All right. Has He ever been seen? Okay. Some say He is the will of all things, and the Son is the carrying out of the will of the Father, and then the Holy Spirit is the witness of that work. Okay, so we have the ultimate will of the universe and beyond. Is that true? It is true. Otherwise, the Scriptures are not true. We have the ultimate will in and out of the universe personally choosing us. I mean, you gotta get the impact of this. Oh yeah, describe to me how that feels. It doesn't matter how I feel. That's really important, because you're gonna feel up, down, around. Beat up, tired, great. You're going to feel a lot of things. It doesn't matter what your flesh feels. It's a matter of what the Holy Spirit teaches you through the Word of God. Okay, so the point of this form is that our dear Heavenly Father has chosen us out personally through His Son. That's in Ephesians 1, 3 and 4, and it states
3:30.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has exalexata.
Yeah, it should be.
In Christ.
You want us to get you anything to eat, or will you have something?
Before the overthrow of the world, and listen to this. This one always gets me. Because I know who and what I am. But He tells me that He chose me out and He's going to make me holy and without blemish before Him in love. Alright, so you could say, well, you know, all of this sounds real good. Alright, what are we having for dinner? That's the way us human beings are. Oh, this sounds really good. Oh man, what's going on in the office now? I mean, I'm like that too. But the fact of the matter is, if you're walking correctly, this is truth of your life. This is what's true in your life. Sure, you have to do this and that and this and that. That's all something expedience. That's all expedience that has to be taken care of. This is who you really are. Okay? In a flash, you won't be here anymore. You know, I've seen enough death myself. In my family and such. You're here and then you're not. It's amazing. So, we better get serious. We better get serious about the one who's choosing us. Alright? So, and this Father has chosen us out personally for Himself. And in our calling, it goes on from here. Alright? Remember, the association of the Father with you through His Son. Remember that. So then we have my email address, which I use. It's huiathesion. And what that means is sonship or son placing. All right, and this is found in Ephesians 1:5. And you could say, well, what are we going to do? Go through Ephesians verse by verse? Well, if I did, for the next 4 hours. What's wrong with that? Okay, so Ephesians 1:5, it's quia phasion, and this is sonship, adoption. All right, and what's important about this, and I'll read this, what's important about this, having predestinated or foreordained us. All right, so I'm not going to go over the form about predestined, but how can we emphasize, the fact that you, Bob Gunther, were chosen in the mind of God before creation, probably, because before the overthrow, how far does that go back? Okay, before the overthrow or before the world became corrupt, how far back do we go? Do we go back to when Satan was here? Do we go back when Lucifer was created? Or do we go back before that? Do you think that Almighty God, the Father, knew about the church, which is Christ's body, before he created Lucifer?
Yeah.
I do. Okay, so we think about this. We think, oh, Bob Gunther, you were foreordained and chosen by the Father personally before he created anything, humanly or spiritually, or earthy or whatever. All right, so what is the impact of this truth? I mean, it's phenomenal. It is phenomenal. But this is God Almighty, all right? This is the impact of what we are discussing. Huiothesion is not technon. Technon is children. There's children of God, and then there's sons of God. You are adopted sons of God. Huiothesion. That is an adoption. I think possibly there's three major adoptions in the scriptures. And they all have to do with superior knowledge and superior wisdom of God. That's a fact. And so, you are chosen by the Father's free will, and He expects you to be adults in His scriptures. This is a fact. He expects you to be adopted sons of God. And I can read this. The relationship which God the Father was pleased to establish between Himself and you, called to be members of the church, the fullness of the only begotten Son, whatever that might mean to you, the Lord. And through Christ, we are considered true sons. Sonship adoption in the scriptures always comes with increased responsibility and increased blessing. So when you say, well, I know the mystery and I know that it's special, these are the facts that go along with that truth, is that you were chosen before creation, you were chosen because of the pleasure of the Father. You were foreordained, and you could study all what that is. I'm not going to go over that today, what paaresis means. It means, you know, a foreordination, or it means foreknowledge, predestination. Well, what does it mean to be predestined to be a son? Well, the way I understand it is that the Lord knows you, all of your hearts, and He knew what you were going to choose and what you were going to reject. And He came along, and I can remember the day, or I can remember how old I was when He showed me the mystery. And I can remember where I was standing in this building in Milwaukee, and I was like dumbfounded, because I was standing there, I was at work, and with my scriptures open, and I was reading over my lunch, I was dumbfounded because I realized the mystery. And so, did I accept it? You bet. And so, that was when the light shone down from the heavens on myself, and I chose to know and the mystery and to be an adopted son. And from that point on, 40 years ago, I am still, you know, I'm beat up and stuff, but I'm still faithful to my calling. All right, I can say that, and just as well as you can. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, the point of it is that this sonship carries responsibility. And if you believe that Ephesians alludes to the fact that you're witnesses to principalities and powers in this life, well, that might even carry more weight to the responsibility that you have. Okay, if you believe that the church is unfolding the manifold wisdom of God right now, then you have quite a responsibility as to how you walk, as to what you believe, as to how you stand for it, as to what you say to other people. Even if you don't witness to other people, you're still standing for this truth. And so sometimes you can be tempted into saying, well, I'm not too much of an evangelist because I certainly don't talk to too many people about the Lord. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because what you have to do is you have to remain faithful. All right? You have to finish your course and you have to remain faithful. And I don't know if the Lord has a whole bunch of lists of things for you, but you have to remain faithful. That's the big one. You finish your course like Paul did. Okay. So, I don't know how far we're going to get, but I might have another 15 or 20 minutes. This one's really important. Thanks. This one's really important, and it's found in Ephesians 1:18. All right? And this has to do with your inheritance. This has to do with your inheritance. Now, what you'll read is something that doesn't make sense in the King James Version. And you could say, well, I don't look at it that way. That's fine. But I'm going to say that I believe what I'm presenting is correct. Because you add all of these facts on top of each other. You add everything that I'm saying and more on top of each other. One fact leads to another fact, leads to another fact, and it builds up who you are, who this church is. Because I'll have to say this again, this just struck me again. Who is Almighty God? Who is the Son of God? Who are they? What are they? Who is God the Holy Spirit? Who are they? What are they? What are they to this world? What is the world to them? They made this place. All right. They allow everything that goes on here. Eventually, they are going to redo this place in the millennial kingdom. Christ is going to come back, and then mankind will be taught like he should be. Because right now, no man can control anything. It's absurd to think so. I believe. That's why the world is in such turmoil. Mankind cannot control mankind in the state of sin. He can't do it. And so you have turmoil, war, fighting. You know. And so, selfishness, flesh. And so God, in Christ, is going to set up a kingdom here. And Israel is going to do the things that she should have from the beginning for 1,000 years. And so, who are the ones we're dealing with here? When we read about who we are in Him, who are we dealing with? And so, the reason I say that is I want you to be taken back at that. I want you to be taken back at the one who you're dealing with. I want you to be taken back by Him. Seriously. Okay, so, this form here, and maybe this might be the last one. I had two of them other than this, but maybe I'll get to one more. This is pronounced en tois hagios. And let's read Ephesians 1:18. Okay? So in Ephesians 1:18, this is the Holy Spirit enlightening you to the wisdom of your calling. Paul prays this, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know, not get to know, no, not maybe know, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. What's that? And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the Holy of Holies? What are you talking about? In the Holy of Holies, what are you talking about? Because in the Greek, hagios is also translated saints. Because it's translated holy, but in some places it's translated saints. And so, the King James people, they translated this in the saints. They said that, if we read this again, we read that, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That doesn't make any sense at all. Especially after we're talking about the good pleasure of the Father, what we've been chosen, how we've been chosen in him. And I'm going to go back to another form that was before this to show you that we don't have an inheritance. We are an inheritance. We don't have an inheritance. We are one. And the Greek, I'll put up one last form after this that will prove that if you study it out. It's also, that's in Ephesians 1:11. And so we have the Father. I'm telling you this, it piles on. It piles on. We're preordained. We're pre-chosen. Before anything was created. Through the Son of God. And so you look at the work of the Son. And before this mystery was revealed, did anybody have any idea about such things? The answer is no. No, no. The answer is that there was no knowledge of any human being being blessed at the right hand of the Father in a heavenly place that's beyond all heavens. That's, I don't know what the words are. I'm going to say it again because this is your calling. I'll get up here every time you could say, I've heard you say that 10 times. I'm going to say it 100 times. Because that is that the facts of these things are impactful. They're mind blowing. They're blasting you against the wall things. They are. That a human being, man or woman, can be blessed in the super heavenlies, in the Son of God, at the choosing of the Father, and we are his inheritance. That's what these forms are bringing out. And so what I said is I said, the Holy of Holies, and also you'll find a term in the Greek in Hebrews 9:8 that is en tois hagios, but it's in a neuter form. But it's the same thing. And it's talking about, if we go there, let's go to Hebrews 9:8. Once, I'm sorry, Nick. Let's go to Hebrews 9:8. And what I'm saying is this, is I'm saying that en tois hagios is in Hebrews 9:8, just in a neuter gender. And it states here in Hebrews 9:8, the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not made manifest. En tois hagios was not made manifest until what? While the first tabernacle was yet standing. But who is the one? And you think about this, piece it together. Piece it together. The tabernacle on earth was a type of the one in the heavens. Is that true or not? That's not me saying it. Scriptures say that. The tabernacle on earth was made according to the pattern in the heavens. Hebrews goes on to say that who entered into the Holy of Holies in the heavenlies? The Son of God did, once and for all. And so, is there a heavenly Holy of Holies? Well, yes, there is. Yes, there is. It's a fact. Otherwise, Scripture is just not true. And so, your calling, your inheritance is there. Your inheritance is whatever that is. Can you explain to me what that is, Mike? No. Because God Almighty has alluded to certain things, and then our understanding of it is shut off to faith. He does not describe what the heavenly tabernacle looks like. But in type he does. In type he does. Alright? And then he talks about Christ the Lord being the high priest of the tabernacle in the heavenlies. Right? And so there was a type of that on earth. Alright? The point of it is he entered there once and for all. And we are his fullness. So you think about that. Let me see. I'm the fullness of the Creator. Christ the Lord. I'm his fullness. Some people say without every one of us, he's not full. He's not complete. Would you agree with that? Okay, let's just say it's true. And so, without every one of us as his church, the Creator of all things is not complete. How can we say such things? But it's true. Alright? And so that, this is why this calling is hardly heard of. Because who is the one? Who is the one that would destroy it? Who is the one that would never want it to be heard? Never want it to be understood? The archenemy of God Almighty himself, right? Because in some ways he was associated with the things that we were talking about. The things that we are talking about. The ultimate worship of the Father by the heavenly beings. And I believe Lucifer was the go-between initially. Alright, so my statement was this, is that our inheritance is in the heavenly holy of holies, and it's not an inheritance in the saints, because what kind of inheritance would sinners have to offer? What does that mean, an inheritance in the saints? It doesn't make any sense. It almost doesn't even make any sense in the English. Okay? So, en tois hagios, in the Holy of Holies, where Christ went, and where he's at the right hand of the Father. How are these connected? Is the right hand of the Father the Holy of Holies in the heavens? I don't know. Where is our manifestation going to be? In Christ, at the right hand of the Father. Is that the heavenly of Holy of Holies? I don't know. Okay, but you study the scriptures as well as I do. You can get into the Greek as well as I do. And God does not say, Nick, I'm going to let you know all truth of the scriptures and you don't have to do a thing. He doesn't do that. He says, those who dig will get riches. Will we ever know everything 100% completely? I doubt it. You know, but those who dig, those who seek, they get the riches. Okay, one more form. Okay, we're going to look at this inheritance. This one is in Hebrews, Ephesians 1:11. Ekleirothemen. Ekleirothemen. And what does this mean? We turn to Ephesians 1:11. And if you would piece these things all together, piece this form into the one I just talked about in the Holy of Holies, and you'll find this, that Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. No. Ekleirothemen. In whom we have been obtained as his own inheritance. That's what the Greek means. We haven't obtained an inheritance. We were obtained as an inheritance. We were obtained by God the Father. We were chosen by God the Father. We were preordained by God the Father. We were preordained according to his pleasure. And then he unfolds his wisdom and knowledge and prudence on us, knowing these things. Okay, so this is the impact. This is what we're kept from. We are kept from this knowledge and the power of this knowledge, I'm convinced of it, by different things that we face. This is our walk. But our power is in such things that we're discussing. So this ekleirothemen is to obtain as an inheritance. We are the Father's personal inheritance. The Father's personal inheritance by appointment through his dear, only beloved Son, Christ Jesus the Lord. And I think that I'm just going to stop with that. But I truly hope that, thanks Nick, I truly hope that you got something out of this. And I truly hope that this is what studying the Greek can bring you to. I hope, I wanted to make that point to you. that sometimes the English translators and the King James Version, am I belittling it? Not at all. It's a masterpiece. Did I learn the mystery through the King James Version English? Yes. I didn't know Greek when I came to know the mystery. But in studying and seeking, digging into the Greek, you can find more abundance. And if anything else, I wanted to show you that. Okay? So, thanks a lot.